Good morning.
Morning.
I'm not as demanding as Roger for the, but I do like shoutbacks. I'm super excited that we're in the Gospel of John today. Last week we started our study of the Apostle John's Gospel. John purposely lays out the pre-existent, co-existent, and self-existent person of Jesus Christ. Right in the first five verses of the first chapter. Excuse me. Santa Ana's got my voice a little, gravelly. The Son of God is referred to as the Word. Why? Because the Word of God is the very nature, character, and power of the Almighty. No one on earth has ever perfectly reflected the holiness and the righteousness and the authority of God like Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are called the Synoptic Gospels, reveal the earthly account of Jesus' life, focusing on what Jesus taught and did outwardly. John focuses on who Jesus is inwardly. The Word of God has stepped out of glory and became a human. Even as the Apostle John accounts of the public and the private ministry of Jesus, he writes with a heavenly perspective. After all, John was one of the three disciples closest to Jesus. He does not even mention his own name in this gospel. He refers to himself as the disciple in whom Jesus loved. This letter was meant to illuminate the sinner's mind and heart to the truth of a Savior. I say this with confidence and excitement when I say, salvation is laid before us today in the person of Jesus Christ. This gospel, to those that already know Jesus, this gospel will strengthen our faith in God and our love for Him. For those that don't, this gospel will change your life. To know Jesus is to know God. May we all be blessed by the Holy Scriptures and illuminated today in the truth. Amen. So I'm gonna read verses 1 through 13 because I know we dissected the first five verses last week, but I wanted to read it all together to put what we're going to study today into perspective. But I'll read it all, but we'll focus on verses 6 through 13. So John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. John describes the eternal Son of God and how He's an agent. First, he describes him as being pre-existent to creation, then coexistent with the Father, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three distinct persons in one God, and that he is self-existent because he is God. Then John refers to Jesus as the agent in which the Father created everything. Everything that was created through the Son. And that the life and light go hand in hand. The life of mankind came through Christ. And only in Christ can we find eternal life. And that life is the illumination, right? The light of all mankind, that God is real. That eternal life is real. That we are spirits in bodies. That the body will die, but the spirit will live on. See, light makes things visible, right? You're walking in the dark, you're going to stub your toe on something in the garage, right? As soon as you flick that light on or light a candle or light a match, the light is beat back and you can see. You see, when Jesus hits a spiritually dead soul, when Jesus comes into our light, our lives, and we are illuminated to the truth that he is the Son of God, that when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. We are illuminated to that truth. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And I'm so grateful today. I wasn't grateful then because I was a filthy, filthy sinner, right? Walking in a lot of darkness. Didn't know God, didn't care. I didn't like you guys and I thought you were faking your joy. Didn't care about the word, meant nothing to me. This was a book with a bunch of little bitty words on a lot of pages. It is a miracle when Jesus, when a sinner surrenders and cries out to God, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. I don't fully understand how you died for me or why, but something in me tells me that God is real and that you are real. And I know, what I do know is that I need to be saved. I need to be saved from myself. I need to be saved from my past. I need to be delivered. I am lost. The thief on the cross didn't have theology. He didn't have a Bible college degree. He said, don't forget about me. Please don't forget about me. And Jesus, he acknowledged that Jesus was God because he saw Jesus forgive mankind, forgive the ones who beat him and crucified him. With a love of God, and God illuminated that thief on the cross, and he said, don't forget about me. And he said, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. So it's not, you know, the fruit of our salvation comes later. Obedience, you know, sanctification. But that it's faith in Christ and Christ alone that surrender, and Jesus comes in and we have spiritual eyes to see God. And when I say that, I mean oh, you are real. What? I'm starting to understand these little words on all these pages. In fact, when I read them, I can feel my soul healing. I can feel my spirit being strengthened. And now when I begin to read the Word of God, I am healed of my past. My past really does not define who I am. Now I understand that I'm a child of God. I define myself now by you, Jesus, that I'm your child. I'm still a sinner, but I have been forgiven. I've been covered in the blood of Christ. The Father now sees me holy and blameless, and I can feel your love for me. And that begins to be the very thing that drives us. It's not that we focus on not sinning. Well, I just have to not sin. I just have to not sin. That's the doing part. Focus on the love. He loves me. He said sin, you know, he tells me that sin is sin for my own good. Not so I don't have any fun, so I don't have fun anymore. Right? That was the old man, the old nature. The light has been illuminated in us and gives us the ability to begin to walk it out in obedience. Verses 6 and 7, this is what we know we'll concentrate on today. Well, till 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. This is John the Baptist, not the Apostle John or John the Baptizer. John was the one in the wilderness. He was covered. The word says he was covered in camel's hair, and he would eat locusts, and he was baptizing people, and he was calling out to them saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." He is literally the one that was called to make way, prepare the way for the Lord. John was sent ahead of Jesus to herald the coming of the Lord. In fact, Jesus says himself in Matthew 11:11, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So Jesus even said he's the greatest human that's ever lived so far. Why? Because he was smarter? Because he was more anointed? No. Because the call that he had on his life was a big one. That he was to be obedient in his life and do the will of God and prepare the way for the Christ, for the Messiah. What a calling. The name John means Yahweh is gracious, or Jehovah is gracious. I want to connect the intentionality of God, and that God isn't just some random God. That God is very methodical and he's very organized. He's the God of order. John was prophesied about in the Old Testament. And I say this because to strengthen those who do believe that this is the inerrant word of God, that this was literally that the Holy Spirit wrote this through different authors, and it's infallible. It has no error. But the people that are in this audience that, you know, I'm skeptical. No other history account compares to this one, where people prophesied of other people hundreds and thousands of years before to be fulfilled. How's that happen? I mean, that's like somebody in the 1500s saying, Chris Jones is going to be a pastor of His Place Church. And then everybody writing it down and all remembering through all of these years. It's like, wow. I just present that because it's factual. And I want to help those that are on the fence that do have doubts. That they can, you can have faith that the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Even though, yes, men are sinners. And they're the ones that have the pens in their hand, but they were inspired by the Spirit of God. And that's why every word in this book is as alive today as when the ink hit the paper. So John the Baptist was prophesied about by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verses 3 and 5. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Then he was prophesied about in Malachi. Malachi is the last prophet in the Old Testament in our Bibles. And it says this, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. You know, it was 400 years between Malachi and John the Baptist. 400 years God was silent, and John the Baptist is actually considered the last prophet of the Old Testament. Even though he shows up in the New, he's the last one to prophesy about the Lord. Isn't that cool? I just wanted to share it with you because I was like, wow, that's cool. John's conception, John the Baptist's conception was miraculous. Not like the miraculous conception of Jesus, but miraculous nonetheless. His father was named Zechariah and his mom's name was Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest and he would work, you know, do his duties in the temple, okay? And Zechariah was working in the temple one day and Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel, shows up and tells him about his son John, and we'll pick it up in verse 11 of Luke. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Yeah, no kidding. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to their Lord, their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So Archangel Gabriel, no wonder Zechariah was startled. I mean, he's a high angel in the army of angels, in God's army. And he shows up and he tells Zechariah, yeah, you're going to have a son. And Zechariah, I didn't get to write this down because I'd just be reading a ton of scripture, but Zechariah goes, wait, how are we going to get pregnant? Me and my wife are 80 years old. And Gabriel goes, I am an angel of the Lord that has just been in, you know, I've just been in the presence of God, and you're going to question me? Okay. You're not talking until the kid's born. And so Zechariah can't talk when he comes out of the temple. So if an angel shows up in your house, don't ask any questions. And then I want to share in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1 that while Mary was pregnant with Jesus, Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. See, order on purpose for a purpose. And at verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. I love the way God uses ordinary people to do magnificent things. Hallelujah. Right? John wasn't God, John the Baptist wasn't God. Jesus is God. That is a miraculous conception. The Holy Spirit put Jesus in Mary, miraculous. His dad, God. His mom, Mary. 100% God, 100% man. This miraculous was done through Zechariah and Elizabeth at 80 years old. That's a miracle. Hallelujah. That's a miracle. 80 years old having babies. But it's because God had a plan for Jesus, but he had a plan to use John the Baptist in his life. Amen. And I love that there's confirmation that the moms got together and the anointing of Jesus made John leap in the belly. That here, like, it's like, yes, beautiful. So let's look at verses 6 and 7 and we'll start dissecting this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. John the Baptist was sent by God for a message to give a message, for a testimony to give a testimony to the courtroom of the world. I testify that the Lord is coming. Prepare the way for the Lord. Repent, turn, and go the other way. Turn from your sin and turn to God and be baptized. So he was baptizing people, getting them ready, preparing the way for the Lord. And it says, so that through him, all might believe. Wait a second. So people believe in God through a man? Yeah. God uses people. It is a God thing, but he uses people. He uses people to open their mouths and share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's how people become believers. Yeah, hey, look, I don't know it all, but here's what I do know. God has changed my life. My Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. I go to His Place Church down the street. Would you like to come with me? You know, like, you just, our phrase here that I love so much is learn a little, use it a lot. Your ministry is what is already, yes, I want you to study your Bible. So you have the truth in you, but you don't have to quote scripture to speak truth, to be led by the Holy Spirit and speak the truth of God and the good news that people don't have to earn their way into heaven. That God takes us just like we are and changes us, saves us, regenerates our heart, illuminates our mind to the truth, and then begins to sanctify us. That's good news. It's good news. This is the model for gospel ministry. Came as a witness. To testify concerning that the light, concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. Anytime you allow yourself to sit under preaching, this is what you're looking for. That Jesus Christ is high and lifted up. That he is at the forefront. Paul said, all I know is Christ and him crucified. Preachers are obligated, and Christians were obligated to give God the glory through Jesus Christ. It is especially the job of the preacher to make sure that Jesus is the focus. If I'm doing my job correctly, you leave here not going, wow, you know, Chris had some funny jokes today. But that you leave going, wow, I am rich. I feel rich in my spirit that I was fed the word of God appropriately. Jesus was high and lifted up today in service. And I feel closer to God. I feel stronger in my spirit. I feel more peace because I've let the scriptures were preached and I ate. Amen. That is the responsibility of the preacher. And this is John the Baptist's whole, you know, this is the line that all preachers should operate in. Romans 10:14-15 says this, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone, what? Preaching to them. How can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You see, listen, some of us are called to preach on a stage to a congregation, but I'll tell you what we are all called to do is to preach the love of Christ to anyone who is near. And I want to make it a point that you understand that you don't have to perform. It's just you being you. And you're sharing the light of... If all you know is God has changed your heart, your mind, and you're on this journey with Him, that's what you share. I used to be in darkness. I used to have no hope. Now I have hope and I walk in the light. Would you like to come to church? Or can I pray for you? Your prayers are powerful. You don't have to be a pastor for your prayers to be powerful. Your prayers, prayers of a righteous one, avail much. I want you to be brave and minister where you're at, the way you do, with authentic words that will come out of your mouth. Because the Holy Spirit is guiding you. He's feeding you those words. That's why I just want to encourage you that if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you are filled with His Holy Spirit that guarantees your safe return home, He will guide you. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He will give you words that, man, I'm telling you, you'll share with somebody and go, whoa, I can't believe that was good. You know, not in a haughty way, but like, wow, Lord, You really used me. Thank You, Jesus. Yeah, You used me to change somebody's day, to change somebody's life, to draw them nearer to You. Wow. I know why I'm here on this planet. To glorify You and to enjoy You forever. Verses 8 and 9 of John chapter 1. He Himself was not the light, John the Baptist. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Let me get a drink here. The Apostle John makes it clear that John the Baptist already knew he was not the Messiah. He was the heralder that came before. And it's such a great example of a person dying to self. Not allowing the ego, the fame, the acknowledgments to get to our head, but we stay humble, knowing that whatever glory happens is Yours, God. Whatever glory happens through the ministry is Yours to be had, God. And in fact, I'd like to go to John chapter 3. We'll study this and probably be in there in a couple months, I'm guessing, but I wanted to share this with you. John the Baptist had disciples too. And when this transition happened and Jesus came and He said, behold, the Lamb of God who forgives the sins of the world, and baptized Him, and the Father said, this is My Son whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit descended down on Him, showing the Trinity together at one time. There's a transition in there, right? And John the Baptist's disciples come up to John, and in verse 26, it says, they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, they call him Rabbi, teacher, that man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing. And everyone's going to him now. Your career's over. What are you going to do? John replied, person can only receive what is given to them from heaven. You yourselves can testify. I told you I'm not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less. Some of your versions say, he must increase, and I must decrease. That's the right answer. John was a man who had crucified his ego. It wasn't about being popular. He was here to serve God. What a great example for us. The takeaway that we should take is that we need to decrease. And Jesus needs to increase in our lives. Like when people are around us, we want them to be attracted to the God in us. Because you know what? That's the best thing about us, is the God in us. You take the God out of me and I'm just like every other tattooed guy in Orange County. The coolest thing about me is Jesus. And my prayer is that when people, you know, walk away from spending time with me, they go, you know, they're blessed. They've had a really good experience of standing in the light. Whether we're talking about scripture or not, does that make sense? Just being around you, your unsaved friends, you're not going to sit there the whole time and evangelize them. They won't hang out with you anymore. But just being around you is different than their other friends. I want you to understand that. Your love, your joy, your peace. You're exuding the light and they are standing in it. That preaches. God will give you opportunities to sow seeds. Trust and believe. Be willing to sow those seeds. I'm not saying don't talk about Jesus with your friends. I'm just saying don't hit them over the head with this all the time. Look for opportunities to minister, because it's not about us, right? We can't save anybody. Thank God it's not up to us, right? Pressure's off. We sow seed, we water seed. We sow seed, we water seed. We shine the light of Jesus and we love. We want people to feel comfortable around us. And that, you know, we know we're representing the Lord, but outside looking in, we're just being ourselves. We're just being ourselves, follower of Christ in a normal situation, going through life with friends, with family. That's why I encourage all of us to spend time in the Word. Jesus, remember, he is the Word who was with God, who is God. All things were made through him. We can trust and believe that when I study on my own time, when I go to a Bible study, when I come to church on a regular basis, that I'm getting the truth in me. And so when the opportunity comes, there's no Bible around at work. I've already got it inside of me. It comes out in words that Chris Jones says, not King James. You see what I'm saying? I may not quote an address of a scripture, but I have that truth inside of me. And I can deliver it at the appropriate time. My lamp is full of the Holy Spirit, right? I'm full of the oil of God as I go out there. You are filled with the oil of God that shines when we go out there and we're living our lives. I love it that God would use people. Yes, people get saved when we open our mouths. God uses people. It's his saving, but he uses us. Amen? Verses 10 and 11. He was in the world of John, chapter 1. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, though everything that was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. These religious Jews, they had the Torah, first five books of the Bible. They had the promises. They had the prophets. And they didn't recognize God when he came in the flesh. His own did not receive him. Jesus even went back to the city of Nazareth, and they where he grew up, and they wanted to kill him for saying he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. That he was God in the flesh. His own did not receive him. What I want us to see here is don't ever mistake religion with relationship. Do not mistake that. It isn't about checking the box. It's not how much time, how many times a year do you go to church? It turns getting to know God. Don't ever let it become a religious duty. It's falling in love with him. You got to get to know somebody to fall in love with them. And when you find out how much he loves you, wow. And that a holy, righteous, perfect God would want to have a love affair with you. Because he does. He absolutely does. That's why he made a way for us to do it. Through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't ever make it about doing. If I do this and I do this and I do this and I don't do that and I do this and I don't do that. Be in love. And the one you're in love with, remember, is holy. So what he calls sin is sin. What he calls blessing is blessing. When he promises you something, you remember that. You hold on to that promise. And walk with God through the good, the bad, and the ugly. He wants in on all of it. He loves you. That is a relationship. We don't close the book and I'll see you next Sunday. Look, if you have a hard time reading, I get it. Get the Bible on audio. Come to one of our Bible studies and listen. But just get it in you. Revelation, illumination, mind being renewed, heart becoming full. No longer does your past dictate how you act. Why? You've been healed. You've been set free. Do you know that you are not bound to the way your parents did life? And their parents, and their parents, and that generational curse that gets passed down to so many families. Do you know that God cuts that at the root? boom, you're starting a new family tree. A new line of blessing. Wow. That's pretty powerful. Would you say amen to that? In verse 12, because I gotta close. I'm not going to keep you guys too long. Yet. So, his own didn't receive him yet. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Hallelujah. All who receive him, who believe in his name, the name above every other name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we have the right to become the children of God. And it doesn't matter about our past, our ethnicity, our social status, our economic position. None of that matters. And that all matters in the world. None of that matters here. All who receive and believe have the right to become a child of God. And you know what? Whether your earthly parents left you an inheritance or not, Father has. There's an inheritance coming your way that is sweeter than gold, is better than having all the riches of this world that this world could give you. This is eternal riches in Christ Jesus that we get to draw off now. So whether your life is difficult or whether it's going great, because it's, you know, it's up and down, amen? Whether you're rich or you're poor in earthly levels, you are rich in God. You've had the right to become his child, which means every inheritance Jesus died to give you is at your disposal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a supernatural experience that happens by God's doing, being born again, blessed by God Almighty, and eternal security and intimacy with a holy God. That is our right. And yes, there's going to be sanctification. Yes, see, there's a beautiful balance that I like to have people stay in. It is by grace that I have been saved. I am a sinner. I need Jesus. But I'm a child of God, blessed by the Most High. He says, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming and I'm blessed going. There's a balance. It keeps me humble. Nothing I did. It keeps me humble, but I'm also not, you know, down, destroyed, defeated. No way. I'm a child of God. So there's a balance, that beautiful balance that keeps me humble, but also keeps me strong. Keeps me with a positive. Man, when it gets hard, lean into it with God. I'm not saying you got to fake it and enjoy it. Yay! We're struggling. But you can lean in with God going, okay, God, you're my provider. You're my healer. You're my strong tower. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk this out. I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to choose to have peace and trust you because you will have the outcome. I will do all I can. I'll do the best I can, but the results are up to you and I'm letting it go. That's activating our faith. That's your right as a child of God. Hallelujah. So listen. As the deacons come up here, I don't like to end services without giving everybody an opportunity because we don't know where everybody's at today. But our deacons have something for you. Okay? If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've backslidden and you want to rededicate your heart, listen to me. Salvation has come before you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. It's here. And it starts with a surrender. Jesus, be my Lord. Save me. He'll walk it out with you. He will walk it out with you. But you're opening up your heart and your mind to receive him and believe in his name. And see, my deacons will come up after, and we just want to pray with you. We have something for you to give you when we're done. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or you want to rededicate your heart today to him, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Okay. Okay. So church, will you pray this prayer with us? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin. I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, shine your face upon your people as they go. I thank you so much for your encouraging, strengthening word. God, let your people shine this week as they do life with the people around them. Shine through them and use them to draw people to you. Pray your highest and best blessing over them as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.